God's word. God has something for you this morning. I think it'll encourage you and hopefully kind of we've been talking about the different roles within the body of Christ and different roles where not just in the church, but to go beyond that, where God has roles, he has purpose and plan. He has things for your life to accomplish and things that he can take you from wherever you're at and create even better. And cause good things to happen and to flourish and for you to be able to flourish. All of this done for his glory. Okay, God loves glory, loves to get the glory. He wants to, and the end result is that God is glorified, and that's what we're after. So we're going to seek that with our way that we go about things today. And part of that, we're getting to, as it says on the screen here, we're getting to a part we've been talking about different roles, and part of those being the fivefold ministry. Okay, what some people would call fivefold ministry. It is something where the apostles and the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and teacher are considered to be part of the gifts that Jesus himself gave unto the church. And some of those gifts then are utilized by the body of Christ to glorify God by building the church, and not just in numbers, that's not what I'm talking, but building it up in faith and encouraging and helping the church to stand strong in the truth and some of the other things we'll read about here in a minute. But part of that is done so that we can reach more and glorify God even more, because again, he wants the glory. He wants everyone to worship him. He's not willing that any should perish. It's not like God said, okay, these people need to die and perish in hell and that's okay. God is not willing that any should perish. Right? So up to this point, just to catch you up, we started with kind of an introduction to what ended up being a series. We're up to part 5 on it now of your role in the body of Christ. But we started out with kind of looking at what knowing for sure that you have a role, that God has something for you to do in the kingdom of God, knowing that you are saved on purpose for a purpose. God had called you specifically and you answered the call. You said, yes, that's me. Okay, and just like Isaiah and other guys, Moses, some other ones that said, yes, that's me, but I'm not qualified. That's okay. God's working that. He's doing some things in your life to get you to where you need to be. Part of that, I'm hoping, is going to be even messages along this line that helps you to know there are things for you to do and ways to serve in the body of Christ. Okay, we see some right now, people go off to teach the children and doing worship and teaching or preaching from the pulpit, and there's the gazillion things that happen that nobody sees happening. Like, you know, I guess I saw Emily make coffee this morning, and you know, but I didn't watch Crystal make her cupcakes that she brought in or things like that. But people do things to bless one another. I saw people encouraging. We see that every Sunday. They're encouraging one another and praying for one another and just a pat on the back, whatever it takes to try to help one another through this thing we call life. Okay, so we talked about your specific calling, okay, and found out that number one, it is to love one another and to take care of each other in the body of Christ. There's something special in that koinonia, that fellowship that takes place there. Okay, then we got into starting to look at some of this fivefold ministry things. We're going to go beyond this. I want to show more on other roles. If you want titled roles, there's some other ones, the deacon and elder and, you know, bishops and some of those. We'll address some of those here in the future. But right now we got into the what's called the fivefold ministry, Ephesians 4:11, but it talks about the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. God said start with the teacher because we're all teachers. And so we started with that, and we began a couple weeks ago talking about the teacher and the different ways that we are an example to those around us, how we're always learning, but we're ever still able to share with the people around us. Last week we talked about what I'm getting to do right now, the pastoral role, okay? And that was something that we talked about, being the shepherd and the protector, and that you're constantly watching out for the flock and trying to do things, trying to steer in a better direction, trying to help with that, okay? And so this week, we're getting into the next one, which, as it says on the screen, is the apostle, okay? The apostle, okay? Now, I'm going to just do a little disclaimer, as like I said, as we keep going through these, the fivefold, you know, you think, well, you can teach the body of Christ about the fivefold. How many is going to be included in that? Church of 100 people, yeah, 10 people might be called into fivefold ministry. I don't know. That's probably on the high end. Right now, we only see one or two or three that are actually stepping into some of those roles. Okay, but hopefully as we go on, we'll be able to see more of you are going to be like, I think that's God speaking to me. I think that is the direction that he's calling me to. But as we're going through these, I'm kind of teaching it in a way so that you know that it's not just one or two people, okay, that makes this stuff happen. God for sure had five, the pastor, prophet, apostle, teacher, and evangelist. Okay, but then beyond that, there are all these other roles that we're going to fill as well. So this week, we're going to talk about an apostle. Let's start with that. Let's start with defining a little bit of what an apostle even is. Okay, since it is one of those five ministry gifts that was given by Jesus to build up, edify his body, it would make sense to look at to what his intention was for that apostle role. What did he want that person to be doing? Okay, what is his purpose for them? Let's start with Luke chapter 9, and we'll read the first two verses of that chapter. Luke 9:1 says, then he, and I put in Jesus, just, there's no doubt here. Okay, then Jesus called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, you first read that and you're like, Pastor, that doesn't even say the word apostle in it. And you're trying to define apostles by reading this. But stay with me. Based on what Jesus did, okay, think of his action in this. Jesus called his 12 disciples, gave them power and authority, cured diseases, and then sent them to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Thinking of what Jesus did, right here we can not only see the purpose of an apostle, but we get a great picture of who an apostle is. Okay? The apostles are those who are, quote, called by Jesus. They are empowered and authorized to cast out demons, cure diseases, preach about God, and heal the sick. Okay, now apostles are, in other words, the sent ones. Okay, and if you don't get anything else out of today, remember that. The apostles are the sent ones. Okay, how do I know that? As Christians, we are all called, okay, to serve the Lord. But in verse 2 here, it says, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Okay, that word sent in the Greek is the word apostello. Okay, it is where we get our English words for apostolic and apostle. Okay, the sent ones. That is who an apostle is. It is those who have a message that are sent by God to spread that message or to say or to speak that message. We're going to talk about the prophet and some of that. There's a little different tone there. But for an apostle, get that down, that it is where we get our word apostle from is the word sent. Okay. Another way to say this would be the apostles are called, they are empowered and authorized, and then they are sent out to directly carry out the ministry of Christ by assisting the body to be edified, to be matured and built up in the faith. Okay, that is why Jesus set some apostles in the church, is to help build up the church. They are sent with a message to help do that. Okay, now with the gravity of what the apostles are, God bless you, that are empowered and authorized to do, okay, based on this, the gravity of what they get. It's a huge, tremendous weight that they are given. Think if you were considered to be a spokesman for God, okay, think of yourself that way. Hopefully you do to a certain extent. But think of the weight that comes with that, and not just the weight, but the responsibility that comes with that. Okay, those referred to apostles in the body of Christ are appointed to kind of a broader sense of leadership, okay, by Jesus, okay, called to be an apostle by Jesus. You're going to read Paul say that exact thing. I was called to be an apostle by Jesus. Okay, it is something that you are called to that is it involves this sense of leadership in a broader sense. Now, we have leaders within the church, I have leadership team and those kind of things, but this is about a broader sense of leadership. They're going to serve as a messenger or a sort of a spokesperson for God for the church, okay, to help the church. Beyond being just authorized and sent out to speak for God, the term apostle refers to those who have a spirit of apostleship. Okay, there's a term for you. What's an apostle? It's those that have a spirit of apostleship. Okay, what that means is that they have a sense of being able to take the gospel, to take the message of Christ and of God, to take that into sort of new territory, unreached territory. More of a, you know, like they're breaking ground, like the, you know, we get into the, you know, we got somebody that is just on fire for Jesus, and next thing you know, they're setting up prayer meetings at the school, and they've got things going, and we've got a great big events going on at the school now. An apostle would be involved in that. They are getting in and breaking that ground and doing stuff that, for me, I'm protecting this flock and helping to get things done. The evangelist is bringing people in. And so the apostle is kind of breaking ground, saying, hey, let's take the gospel into this particular area. Okay, so they have this spirit of apostleship that significantly extends and expands the work of the Christian church. Okay, it is what takes it beyond these four walls. Okay, opening new fields to the gospel and then sort of overseeing larger portions of the body of Christ. Now, an apostle, a lot of times we'll get that name in modern language as one of those kind of a bishop or an overseer, somebody that is over several churches or has planted several works or different things like that. Now, for many years, I've been asking the leadership of our church, when we gather together for a meeting or whatever, I say, how can we reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Okay, they have heard that over and over and over again. What I'm really asking, okay, and what I'm really seeking, what I want to know is, okay, which one of you or ones have an apostolic anointing and can speak as an oracle of God instructing us as to what direction to take the ministry to effectively fulfill the Great Commission? Okay, what ideas do you have? In other words, now, in that sense, it's more of ideas, but we're going to take it and hopefully run with it. But it's that apostolic anointing that would say, well, I think we need to reach more of the children. You know, I think we need to connect more with families. It's that apostolic anointing that says, you know what, I think the tweens are falling through the cracks. And just a statement like that can be that apostolic statement saying, I think the teens are falling through the cracks. We need to do something to reach them. Guess what? We started a tween, okay, the minis group. Okay? Other people might say something like, you know, I really feel like, you know, we should be reaching the women. We have many in the church and that are, you know, they need to be reached out to. Or we had one that suggested reaching out online more. How can we reach more people with the gospel? Well, let's do more online. Let's make sure we're on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and Rumble and, you know, spreading the gospel as far and wide as we can, even beyond our walls and beyond our city and nation and world. You know, we're getting not beyond the world, but you know what I'm saying? We're getting the word out there. Okay? So what happened? All those things were put in place. Somebody stepped up and said, I can do this and I can do that. And next thing you know, we're doing all of that. So that is sort of collectively the way that we are currently fulfilling the role of an apostle within the church. Okay? Within our church. Now, not all churches are functioning like that. I believe, though, that there are some who are strategically gifted in this area by God and are set in the local church for just such a purpose. They have that heart of an apostle. Okay, it's not something you'd step into if you don't feel led to step into, probably. It's something that you're feeling like, this is an area where I think I can really help. Okay, that apostolic role is one that often will include lots of the other ministry gifts as well. Okay, I've served in that apostolic role for our church for many years, off and on, along with others that are helping. Okay, but there's a lot of examples in the New Testament to look at, a lot more than you would think. Okay, there's a lot that are referred to as apostles. Obviously, the first 12 apostles, we know that Jesus called them apostles. Okay, but there's also people like Matthias, okay, and Silas, Timothy, Barnabas, Apollos, James, Epaphroditus, Titus, Andronicus, Junia, okay, among others, men and women that were called into an apostolic role. They were referred to as apostles. When the Bible will say there was apostles among them named, and it will name some of these people. Okay, obviously Jesus Christ would be our absolute best example of an apostle. Okay, think about what the message, what it is that they do. He spoke as a voice of God, literally. Okay, he operated in deep dimensions of the prophetic, telling things that were going to happen. Did the disciples, they had already heard he was going to be crucified and raised from the dead. They just didn't quite click it yet. Okay, but he was speaking these things in the prophetic realm. Okay, he was, obviously, he had an evangelical nature to him, leading people unto him. Okay, he had a pastoral heart where he had his disciples and those that he was watching out for. How many times do you read Jesus saying, beware of? Okay, because he's warning his disciples, steer clear of this or that or the other thing. Okay, he obviously had a teaching role. He's known for teaching, right? And healing and doing all these other things. And all of these things he was doing for the expansion of the kingdom of God. Okay, exactly, our best example of an apostle is Jesus Christ. Okay, now the apostle Paul gets a lot of credit. Okay, we hear his name a lot. He is also another great example. And he says this of himself, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. He says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Okay, a preacher, a teacher, and an apostle. All in one statement, he says, I am this. Okay, now he was an apostle, a preacher, and a teacher, all while carrying out this authoritative leadership role that he was called to sort of oversee the works that were started or that he got going as he was, quote, sent to the Gentiles. Okay, he was sent with a message by God. He felt this compulsion to go share the gospel with them. Okay, now Paul not only traveled and preached like an evangelist, but then he also taught in the synagogues. He was just known for that. When he would get there, he'd get established, go to the synagogue, and begin teaching. So a teacher role as well. He trained disciples. Okay, he appointed new leaders. Okay, and began to set some over these ministries. And he established more than a dozen churches in the ancient world before he was done. I think 14 is what they claim. Okay, but he didn't just quit once they were established. Okay, here's an evangelist. You know, they'll come in, preach, lead people in, but then the others have to take up some of the slack because they're going on to preach the gospel somewhere else, that evangelistic role we're going to talk about in a couple weeks. Okay, but Paul didn't stop with just getting things started and then moving on. Okay, he would go on to the next, but then he would write to the ones that he had been to. He would send people to the places where he had been, saying, I'm going to send Epaphroditus to you and receive him like he's me. Okay, or I'm sending Barnabas to you with some funds, okay, that they had gathered in this church. Receive him and all that he wants to share with you and to give you. So Paul began taking care of these other ministries. Okay, he would then follow up in person. Okay, he did, what, 3 missionary journeys, right? So he planted some churches, got things going. Then on the second time around, he'd try to catch some of those same places again. And then he'd write letters if he couldn't go. And he did all these things. All of that was part of that apostolic overseer role that Paul was playing. Okay, you know, I listened to a sermon the other day by a pastor. He's one of my kind of go-tos. His name is Robert Morris. Okay, has anybody heard of Robert Morris? He's down in Texas. Okay, pretty good guy. I actually found out about him because my pastor sent me his DVDs and CDs and a book and different things and said, you should check out this guy because he had heard him and knows him or whatever and connected with him along the way. Okay, well, Robert Morris is the senior pastor, if you don't know, of a place called Gateway Church. Okay, that in 22 years has grown to serving an active membership of over 100,000 people in our country. Okay, and that includes at least 10 campuses around the United States, a lot of them in Texas, but that 100,000 doesn't include all the prison ministries and all the other gatherings and fellowships and things that they have going on. They even have a campus, though. One of their churches is here in Wyoming. I don't know if you knew that. In Jackson Hole, Wyoming, there is a branch of Gateway Church under Robert's leadership. Now, Robert Morris would be considered, to a certain extent, a modern-day apostle. Okay, and I noticed that during his sermons, he would frequently mention some of these other campuses that he has throughout Texas and Wyoming. The other day, I was listening to one, he talked about Jackson Hole, Wyoming, or Jackson Hole. Okay, and I was like, that can't be Jackson Hole, Wyoming. But I looked it up, and it's Jackson Hole, Wyoming. That's where he had been. Okay, so he brings up these other campuses a lot of times, not just to talk about them, but because he has just come back from there. Or he is going there next to preach next Sunday. I won't be here next Sunday. I'm going to this other campus. And he would begin to elaborate on it. Now, he has a team of administrators, okay, that will oversee the ministry as a whole. He has an apostle on staff, I guarantee you, someone that is helping to oversee this. And yet, he also feels that sense of, I have to help these other ministries. He feels that sense of responsibility to govern these other campuses. Okay, now that is a one-word description that has been used to define what an apostle does, is the word govern. Okay, they govern. They oversee in that sense of trying to keep things in order, going in the direction that God wants it to go. One theologian described the fivefold ministry like that of a hand. Okay, and he said there's the apostle and the apostle. Well, I'll explain that in a minute. There's the apostle, there's the prophet, which is like the pointer finger, kind of pointing in the right direction. There's the evangelist, which is the longest one. It's considered to be reaching out. Okay, and then the ring finger was the pastor, because they're in a covenant relationship with the body of Christ or with their congregation, and then the teacher. Okay, now the thing about the apostle that this guy pointed out, and I thought that's pretty unique, the thumb can easily touch each of the other fingers and does so frequently. Think about using your hand all the time. You're using it to pick up stuff, to do different things. That thumb is touching the other parts of that fivefold ministry. Okay, that's an important aspect of an apostle, is that they are constantly touching the other members around them in that way. They are reaching out and being useful and helping them to be useful as well. Okay, now, another thing you have to know about apostles, and this is something depending on your background, how you grew up, but you have to know that there's more than 12. Okay, I have alluded to that already, but I want to give you a little bit of scripture so that you can kind of see it for yourself. Jesus not only appointed those initial 12, but in Luke chapter 10, it tells us that he commissioned them, he authorized them, he sent them out, you know, these 12 disciples, and then they came back and they were amazed at the power of God. But then he immediately turns around, okay, and the apostles or the sent ones, after they had come back, he appoints more, okay, and he sends them out as well. Let's read this in Luke chapter 10, the first two verses. It says, and after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Okay, so he had already appointed the 12. He said, now he's appointing another 70 also. And he sends them, okay, sends, apostles them, okay, apostelos, sends them out two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. I pray you therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Okay, that's you and I. We are sent forth as laborers into the harvest. Okay, now if you remember, the root word for apostle means a person sent with a message. Okay, so that message of Jesus Christ was given to you when you believed on him. You received him. You accepted him as Lord of not just you, but should be Lord of everyone, right? At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow at some point. Okay, so you were then sent to share that message in whatever arena you're in. Okay, if you're in the schools, you're in a workplace, you're in a construction site, you're in the farm, wherever, you're in your family, you're in a, wherever it is, you're called to share that message in your arena. Jesus commissioned us in you know, a lot of people call it the Great Commission. There's different places that are kind of alluded to as that. But in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Okay, go. Okay, that's that sending of you and I. We are to go and preach the gospel. Okay, now this apostolic calling that each of you have upon your life, you have to know that that is there. And many of you have probably heard of an expression that, what is it? God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Anybody ever heard that before? Okay, God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. Okay, now this seems like a good time to kind of elaborate on that a minute. You have to know that God is actively at work in each of your lives. He is developing you. He is working on you. He is forming you, okay, into the greatest servant in the kingdom of God that you can possibly be. Okay, now we're going to dig into some of the qualifications of deacons and elders. There's really good descriptions in the Bible, bishops, overseers, prophets. But for now, I want you to know this much about the requirements. God requires willingness to be used by him for his purposes. God requires willingness. If you're not willing, he's not going to force you. Okay? He's just not that way. He'll keep leaning you in that direction, okay, in whatever way that he can, but he will not force you into serving him in any capacity in ministry, okay, to serve him in his purposes. On top of that requirement to be willing, God has an expectation of obedience to his will. Okay, when we begin to step outside of obedience, we begin to stray from the will of God. Okay, those that are living in an ongoing sin, or they're kind of leaning away from God in rebellion, you know, like God is calling them and trying to get them to do stuff, and they're like, I just don't want to give that up in my life. I don't want to go that direction. You know, I might lose friends, or you know, people might not like me, or whatever it is. God expects you to be obedient unto him. Okay, and rebelling against God is going to make you less effective in the kingdom of God. Just point blank. There's no way around that. Okay, it's going to make fulfilling your purpose that much harder. Okay, we're talking about, what is your role? What is your purpose in the body? You're trying to find it. Okay, there's some obedience that's going to go along with this. Okay, you can't just live any willy-nilly way you want to live. Okay, God has called you to be holy like he is holy. He wants you to live it out. He wants you to set that example. Get some of the stuff out of your life that you know better. You know, there's some of that's not even outright sin. It's just stuff that you know better. It's not healthy for you. It's not good for you. Okay, people that say they want to be used by God, or they want to minister in the church, okay, and yet they won't submit to his authority, okay, or they won't submit to his plan for training them up. Okay, and I'm going to explain this in a minute. They're not going to be able to accomplish as much as what God wants. Okay, they'll still get some stuff done. People can love on people. You don't need much for that. You just love on people. Okay, but if you've got stuff in your own life that is keeping you from feeling loved yourself, okay, you're feeling guilty all the time or whatever, it refrains you from loving others effectively. The Bible tells us that Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, the Bible says that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Okay, he had to learn obedience. Okay, this is the process, I'd say, between the call and the being sent. Okay, we're called, okay, but God is wanting to send and sent him out, remember? But Jesus spent time with those disciples before he did that. Okay, he trained them up and taught them. These are the people that had followed him and watched his ways and saw him in action, and you heard him speak, and they went to the synagogue every time he was there and speaking, because he was training them up in the way that they should go so that he could send them out. Okay, you're going to have to be willing to endure some training in order to be effective. Okay, that's where you gain the anointing and that empowerment, that authorization to fulfill your calling. Okay, there's a tremendous amount of patience needed while you're being developed. Okay, see if you can follow this. There are many references to an apostle in the Bible. In the New Testament, probably a third of those are referring to the apostle Paul. Right? He is pretty well known as the apostle Paul. I frequently reference him as that. Okay, well, after Paul was saved, if you read his testimony of his life, after Paul was saved, the Lord sends him to a man named Ananias to help get him on the right track. Now, he was going against God, killing Christians, doing all this stuff. He gets saved, and God sends him to a man named Ananias. Ananias is deathly afraid of Paul, because Paul has a reputation of being a severe persecutor of the Christian church, to the point he's killing people and all these things. So God says this to Ananias in Acts 9:15. It says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for Paul is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Okay, in other words, he's saying, Paul is a chosen vessel sent by me to bear my name, to carry my message. Okay, this again shows that purpose and the mission of the apostle. But here we're going to see that even Paul, even as well-trained, he was well-versed in the scripture up to that point, what they had available. He had studied under Galileos and all these guys, and he knew what he knew very well. He was good at what he did because he knew it so well. But even Paul, as well-versed in the scriptures as he was the day that he got saved, it took him 14 years from his calling to the point he was sent out and could literally say things like he did to the Romans. Romans 1:1, he opens up with this. He says, "I'm Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto God." He knew that by this point. This is where he had gone to spend years in training under other disciples who had been with Jesus to learn the truth of love and the ways of Jesus. Okay, now, during this training process, just like Paul, he still taught here and there. He knew what he knew and said the scriptures all were leading to this. And he began to put all that together. You're still going to preach and teach others while you're being trained, okay, while you're being developed. Okay, but it takes some time to build the relationships that are necessary to be fully effective and fulfill your call. Okay, one of the most important aspects of any of the fivefold ministry offices is that of relationships. You can't be a very good teacher, okay, or a very good pastor if you do not build some sort of relationship with the people you're teaching and protecting. If you remember, I said that last week about the pastor. One of the reasons we talk to people is to find out where they're at in their walk, what's going on in their lives, not to put them down, but because we want to make sure if somebody is lacking nourishment in a particular area, we want them to get that. Okay, so that's part of what you have to do. It's part of that relationship. Well, the roles of the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist also have a necessity for developing relationships, because it is through those relationships, or at least a reputation of being trustworthy, that leads to those ministry gifts being able to speak into the lives of others more effectively. Okay, and here's what I mean by at least having a trustworthy reputation. Okay, if my pastor, John Kyle, speaks something to me that is pretty strong guidance or correction into my life, I receive it, hands down. Okay, I'm not going to fight him on it. It's hands down, I will receive it. Sometimes it's head down, I will receive it. Yes, sir, thank you very much. Okay, thank you for being confident enough, being truthful enough to me to say what needed to be said. I understand. Okay, we have built that sort of a trusting relationship to the point that if he tells me something like, you know, Pastor so-and-so is a good man. If you get a chance to hear him or listen to his sermons or, you know, to have him speak in your church, do so. I will listen to that other pastor that he just told me to listen to as if he were my own. Because if he's good enough for my pastor and my pastor's recommending it, my pastor listens to the guy, whatever, that means I want to listen to that too. I want to take that in as well. Okay? I know that my pastor has my best interest in mind. He's smart. He's a tuned into the spirit guy. I know that about him and his wife. They have had people that they have told me to, you know, this is a great guy, whatever, and then something happens and they find out other truth. He calls me up and says, hey, remember so-and-so? Yeah. And we have that conversation. He helps get me on the right track. He is still my pastor, protecting me from false teaching or anything else that comes around. I know that he has my best interest in mind. Relationships are that important among ministry. Okay, when you're in ministry, if you believe that you're called to be an apostle, okay, or in a prophet, or to serve the body of Christ in some way, to build up the church, to help prepare the church to better serve God and the people that God puts them around, okay, and yet you avoid those people, okay, or you set yourself up as being above them, okay, you're not going to be very effective. Faithfully building relationships, building credibility, okay, comes from being connected to the body. Okay, the people that bounce around from church to church to church typically have their own ministry and they're not serving the ministry of Christ. Okay, they're seeking something else. They're not seeking to be ministered to plug in, to get learned and be able to develop a little bit. They're seeking to be able to go and set things right. Okay, I remember we had a guy come into our church in Pocatello, Idaho. My pastor was there, Pastor John. And this guy came in and he only came for that one Sunday. I'll never forget it. He came for this one Sunday, but he stood up several times during the service and before and after and all these things. And he gives this, thus saith the Lord, kind of this pompous word from the Lord for the church. And it was all kind of negative corrective stuff. Okay, then he went out to lunch. We went out to lunch with Pastor almost every Sunday, and so did lots of other people. We'd, you know, pull in people. Well, this guy went too, and he proceeded to get on a rant about all the things that were wrong with our church. Okay? And I watched my pastor because I knew that, you know, I was sensing something or something not right about this guy. And so I was watching my pastor in the way that he talked, and he literally did a disclaimer on the guy after the fact. Okay, but you could tell that that guy did not want the best for our church. He wanted people to think that he was some wise prophet and worship him. Okay, like he heard from the Lord where all the rest of us were just stupid. I mean, we didn't hear a thing, but this guy knew it all. And he wanted us to kind of bow to him in that sense. Okay, what he really needed to do was to get plugged into a local church and let God develop his character. Because he was missing it. He was kind of on his own tangent and missing the truth. Okay, now I want to stress that necessity today that you humble yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord and let him exalt you in due time. Okay, remain humble in everything that you do. Ephesians 4:11, as I close this out, it says, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, but he gave those to the body of Christ. Why? Okay, the next verse says, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and have the knowledge of the Son of God, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Remember how that prophet can reach out and touch each of the other parts? Okay, that's a huge part of how God designed for the local church to function, and the big church as a whole. There are worldwide prophets, I believe, in the body of Christ. There are people. In fact, this last letter I got from my pastor named a guy I'd never heard of. And so I tuned in to watch him online. I wanted to see what this guy is about, okay? Because there's something that this guy was saying that was affecting the church as a whole, nationwide, worldwide, okay? Things like that are still happening. We're going to talk about that more next week. If you want to be sent out, you first need to get plugged in. Okay, let God develop your character. Let Him do something in your life to help get you to that place where you're connected to the pastor. Connected to the pastor. Sorry, I'm reading my next line. Where you get connected to the body. You don't have to just be connected to me. My next line is, I am a pastor today, but I knew that I was called to pastor for many, many, many years before I ever took on that title or was given that title. Okay, I fulfilled little bits and pieces of the role along the way. My pastor would have me teach a Bible study. He'd have me go with him to minister unto people and, you know, do deliverance and counseling and things with people. He would have me, you know, give people rides to church or to call people that hadn't been there for a while and began taking on little bits and pieces of that role all along the way. But it took years of training and character development before God ever let me step behind a pulpit as a full-fledged pastor. Okay, and there's a good reason for that. Okay, I knew, like I said, right away, I knew pretty soon in my walk that I was called to ministry. I had people in, within months of being saved, they were saying, you're called to the ministry, you're called to pastor, you're called to something. Okay, some of them didn't know exactly what it was, but they knew I was called to fivefold ministry. After I had been saved for about 3.5 years, 1998, a prophet spoke to me from the stage, stopped in the middle of what they were saying and said, you, young man, right there in a blue shirt, said, you are called into the ministry by God. And right now, you are climbing the mountain. You're almost to the peak of that mountain. And when you get there, you will know the work that God has called you to do. The room went black, except for me and this person as they're saying it to me. I'll never forget it. I wrote it down and it's there. I was ordained a deacon a few years after that, then ordained as an elder. 12 years after that person had told me, you're almost to the peak, 12 years later, I climbed that mountain, got to the peak, and I was ordained a pastor and stepped into pulpit ministry. 12 years after she said, you're almost at the peak. Okay, that to me sounded a lot like the Apostle Paul, who 14 years after he was saved, he could finally say, I'm called an apostle by God. Okay, now for a guy like me, 12 years was nothing short of a torturous lesson in patience. Okay, that was a long time. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Pastor, am I ready yet? I mean, it was constantly bugging this guy because I knew the call. I knew it was there. I had no doubt about that. But it was waiting till the training happened. Okay, it was well worth it. If you remember, the Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy at one point and he told him not to put a novice into ministry because they will get puffed up in pride and stumble or fall into the condemnation of the devil. Okay, you don't want to skip that preparation part. That's what I didn't see. I thought I knew enough. I study the Word every day. I pray every day. I'm doing everything Pastor says and helping and doing all these things. I'm ready. Okay, but I wasn't, because I needed that preparation of my character to develop, to learn the patience that ministry takes. It is tremendous. That apostolic role in the body of Christ is something that we are all called to a certain extent. We're all reaching people wherever we're at with the gospel. Okay, you're sent with the message of the gospel of Christ to the world that is in your world. In the church setting, the Lord is going to call, empower, and authorize some of you to serve in the church, okay, to help us to grow and to flourish and succeed in the ministry of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Seek to fulfill your role within the body. Okay? That's what this whole series is about. If you don't think you're called to pulpit ministry, that's great, because there are 100 other ways to serve in the body, to help the kingdom of God expand and flourish. We've talked about some. We're going to talk about many more in the future. Amen. Father God, we praise you this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you are speaking to hearts even here this morning, Lord. You're speaking to people that are tuning in. You're helping to people to understand and believe in the calling that you have called each one of us to present the gospel, to share your word, and to look for opportunities to reach out with it. Father, I pray that you stir in hearts, Father, for those that are called into ministry, Lord, that are called to serve from a pulpit or to serve the body of Christ behind the doors and administrative and all these other areas that you've called people to. Father, I pray that as we go forth that we get a sense inside of an understanding of where you're taking us individually, that as we seek you, we will find you. As we thirst for you, we will be filled, and seek you and eat of you, we will be filled, Lord. I pray that you'll pour that into us, Lord. Help us to get a hold of it, to be able to chew on it and begin to get the nourishment from it and be able to put that nourishment into energy and begin to step forward doing the things you've called us to do. Father, we love you. I thank you for your love for us. Thanks for your grace. Thanks for Jesus. Thanks for making this the best life possible. Father, we are praising you and thanking you for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen.